All righty, church, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I have good news today, and the good news is that after 17 weeks, we are finishing off our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know if you've enjoyed the process. I hope you have, of going through the teaching of Jesus on kingdom living. And we come to the last topic today. So we're going to do a quick review of the teaching of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I told you I was going to tell you about my shirt. Do you like the red shirt? It says Catch the Fire. I have good news and bad news. The bad news is you cannot buy this shirt in our resource center. It's never going to be for sale, not just because it's mine, but this kind is never going to be for sale because this is going to be given away to those of you that want to be on our greeters team. And we're going to be starting to be a little bit more team-oriented. I don't know if that's the right word, but we're going to professional. Thank you, Linda. All of our greeters, those who are information people on a Sunday morning and at conferences, are starting to wear red golf shirts so that newcomers that come in, they just know, find a person with a red shirt. That's the person I can go and talk to. So if you'd like to get one of these shirts, you can get one free. You can't buy it, but you can get it free if you sign up to be one of the greeters. And you're going to be on a team about every second Sunday, and you can either see Linda or Sam, who is hosting this morning after the meeting. They'll be at the back. You can do that. The other thing I wanted to mention was that on the video announcements, we were talking about Operation Makeover, which is our building renovation project this year. And we are doing really well. We have had some significant gifts that have come in. In fact, a lady just gave me another gift today that I put in the bucket for her. And money's coming in. We're about $150,000 in the account right now. And what we're planning to do is to replace the most of the stage lights, to put some fancier lights up that we can do different colors and things like that. We're planning to take away the facade here, which is getting old and starting to fall apart. We're planning to have a black curtain and different, it's probably going to be white banner kind of things that can be lit up all different colors. And so if you want the stage red one day, it can be red or pink or purple or blue, or it can be all different kind of things. And to get a new sound system. The sound system here is getting old, and depending where you sit, it's either too loud or too quiet. So people find their stress point level. I know exactly where the quietest places are over there, and the loudest place is right in here. So if you like loud, this is the place. So we're getting ready to do those kind of things. We have a quote for $200,000 for new sound, new lights, and a new backdrop. And so we're almost there. We are still looking at the green portion of the roof. We redid the flat part of the roof. It cost us $350,000. We did that last year. All the money came in, and so we paid cash. That's what we're planning to do, is we're not planning to do any projects that we can't pay cash for. The green part of the roof is rusting. There's two or three places where it leaks. But for the most part, it's a cosmetic thing. It just really looks bad as you're coming in, and especially along the side where where you drive in is very, very rusty. So depending on how much money comes in for our Operation Makeover project, we will either just put a rust paint on top and just clean it up for the next 4 or 5 years. But if we do get enough money, then we will probably replace the roof, fix or replace the roof. One of the options is that we would scrub it down, seal it with some sort of plasticky sealer, paint it. There is around 100,000 bolts on the green roof all the way around that hold it down and lock it down. And many of those are starting to come up, and just over time they start unraveling, things like that. So that would be if we have more money, we'd be doing that. And another option, we have some engineers that are giving us quotes right now, is that we actually put another roof on top of that roof. So we're just looking at that. And then we've already had a quote to redo our to fix our house of prayer behind us. And we want to make that facility accessible for prayer times 24/7. We're going to put a combination lock on one of the back doors. We're going to put a wheelchair ramp so that we can actually have the house of prayer accessible, that you don't have to get in here where the security alarms go off and all that kind of stuff. So those are our projects. And for all of you who have given to Operation Makeover already, thank you so much for that. And if you have no idea what it is, we're challenging our church to ask God to supernaturally give you an extra $1,000 this year. Not from your bank account, unless you got lots of money. That's fine. We will take your money. But what we're looking for is for God to show himself as your provider and just supernaturally give money to you. And how many of you have ever had that kind of thing happen where God just gives money? Sandra and I continue to have checks from the government of agencies I've never heard of. And the checks all cash, which is amazing. So that happens to us, and God just seems to provide all sorts of different ways. So anyways, there you go. Alrighty, Matthew chapter 7, the very last part of that book is we're talking about wise and foolish today. And Sue, if you're able to put me onto the screens, that'd be great. So we're talking about who's wise and who's foolish. And the scripture passage starts in verse 24. So Jesus is wrapping up his talk. I don't know how long his sermon was, but it's three chapters. Therefore, he says, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, they're like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Any of you seen some of the news reports? I remember a few years ago, beautiful multi-million dollar homes in California built on cliffs. Beautiful scenery. Guess what the foundation was? Sand, dirt. And when the winds came, and it was like just one by one, crash. One by one, crash. There was a few years ago where one house stayed. The whole thing caved away. Guess what he built his house on? He built a foundation. It was just, this is in the Bible. So probably something like that had happened in Jesus' day. And when he's saying this, people are going, oh yeah, we saw that on YouTube. Well, so when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of their law. So here it comes up. Why were people so amazed? Why did they find so much life in the teaching of Jesus? And the correct answer is because it's kingdom principles. It's life-giving principles. And so as Jesus is beginning to lay out for his 12 especially, but it says crowds came, huge crowds came, and began to hear him speaking. And as he goes through, this is what the kingdom's all about. If you want to live as a follower of me, this is what you do. This, and it's the clearest teaching of what a follower of Jesus, what their lifestyle is all about. And so we're just going to do a real quick recap. We did not begin with the Beatitudes. We skipped the Beatitudes when we started our series because all of you have heard 100 sermons on the Beatitudes already. But the whole idea is that we're blessed when we begin to have some of those values, and so they're introduced by Jesus. Then we talked about salt and light. And we are to be salt, aren't we? We're to be light. And so salt does a whole bunch of good things. It helps cleanse and heal. It preserves. It enhances taste and life. And so Jesus was saying we're supposed to be like that. And light does the very same. It illuminates where there's darkness. It gives hope. It gives guidance. It does a whole bunch of wonderful things. And Jesus was saying, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're supposed to be living different. You're supposed to be looking different. You're supposed to be smelling and tasting different. You're supposed to be unique. And so when Peter writes, he says that he actually says we're peculiar people. We're a different kind of sort because we're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be a blessing to others. Yes? Then we talked about fulfilling the law. And Jesus talks about that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. How many of you enjoy shrimp, lobster, pork chops? Hands up. In the Old Testament, you were not allowed to eat those. Are you allowed to eat them today? How many of you are thankful that you're allowed to eat shrimp and lobster? Okay, all sorts of hands. Why are you allowed to do that when the Old Testament said no? The correct answer is because the New Testament is allowed to redefine and to change the rules. And so that was the teaching of Jesus. And as later on in the ministry of Jesus, he said, all food is allowable for you to eat. Now the Apostle Paul in Corinthians goes on a little bit later on to say, yes, everything's permissible, but not everything's necessarily good for you. And so those of you that eat shrimp and lobster and pork, you just need to know you're allowed to eat it. Is it the best healthy food? No, that's all right. And so the New Testament allows you to do something that the Old Testament didn't do. Are we still stoning people who are living in a gay lifestyle? Why are we not stoning them? Do you have a... I know that the courts don't say that in the province of Canada. The love of God, the mercy of God, changed the rules. And so Paul in the book of Romans, in chapter, it's either chapter 1 or chapter 3, he says, we don't do that anymore. Now the punishment has changed. And you can read this. It's right in the scripture. Paul says the punishment is now in their bodies, meaning or implying sickness and disease would come to people who are living in that kind of lifestyle. But the mercy of God was that they're allowed to live. They're allowed to repent. They're allowed to change. And the mercy of God for every single one of us is wherever there's an area of disobedience, wherever there's an area of sin in our lives, whatever's going on, we don't get hit by lightning anymore. The grounds don't open up and earthquakes happen because we're disobedient. Aren't you thankful for the cross and for mercy and grace? All of those are benefits. Are we allowed to have sex with animals? Why no? Because the Old Testament said don't have sex with animals. The New Testament says nothing about it. Meaning the Old Testament rule still applies. That's how you figure out the New Testament and the Old Testament. That's what Jesus was teaching. Then Jesus goes into 6 examples of what the Old Testament law was all about. And we did one of these each week. And Jesus would say, you've heard in the old it was this, but I'm telling you what really the Father's heart was this. And so Jesus went way past the law. He went into the heart. And the first one we talked about was murder and dealing with anger issues. And the point of Jesus is that relationships are vital in the kingdom of God. Do everything you can to deal with your issues so that you can be in good relationship with other people. And we talked about reconciling quickly. We talked about it's not about who's right. And Jesus shocked people, his disciples, by saying, actually, if you get to the courts, you may find out you're wrong. So don't go to the courts. Reconcile. Then Jesus talked about adultery. And his whole point was that you're not even to be looking at another person, let alone physically involved in having sex with someone who's not your partner. And so Jesus went deeper than just the letter of the law. He went into the heart. And so we have some guidelines that we talked about when we did that talk. So men, are you allowed to look at the breasts of other women? No, you're not. And you need to quickly learn to bounce your eyes. We talked about that you just have to, as a matter of discipline, when you realize I'm being distracted. Is that the right word? That's the right word. Keep going. My wife said, keep going. We look away. And so for a lot of you, it's a discipline to look a lady in the eye and not up and, you know, scan her body. I don't know about how the ladies don't use, I don't have that problem with ladies scanning my body. other than my wife. Anyways, we will move on. Jesus talked about divorce. And the whole point of Jesus' teaching in divorce was, yes, the law allows you to be divorced, but you don't have to get divorced. And so the teaching of the scripture is, yes, there's allowances for that, but that shouldn't be your first option. Your first option is always reconciliation. And so that's where Jesus went, and we had 10 different things that we talked about from that passage. Then we get into this whole area that we hinted at this morning when we had communion of judging and oaths. And Jesus said, let your yeses mean yes and your noes mean no. And he said, anything more than that is from where? It's from the devil. Like Jesus flat out says it. When you begin to say the word always, you always, and you never, you've gone into an oath. You've now changed your yes and your no, and you've now, without you realizing it, allowed demonic influences in your life. And so Jesus says, don't talk like that. Let everyone know, yes means yes, no means no. Don't be fudgy. Don't be confusing in how you talk just because you're going to be shrewd, you're going to be tricky, you're going to get your way, you're going to sneak around. Don't do that kind of stuff, is what Jesus is saying. Then he has this whole passage about going the second mile. And he talks about turning the cheek when people insult you. He talked about when injustice, you give up your cloak. He talked about going the second mile when it's an imposition in your life. And then there was the last passage in there was when someone asks you for your coat, your tunic, you give it to them. And the phrasing there, if you weren't here on that Sunday, this is not just anybody that comes to you and says, can I have your Rolex? You're allowed to say no. The the group that's clearly talked about in that passage, the wording that's used there, is those that you know and are in need. That's the group. And so when you know that someone's in need and you're in relationship with them, your obligation from Jesus is to give to them. That's a good thing, isn't it? Next one, learning to love those that aren't likable. And so we had a whole talk about how to do that because Jesus said the sun shines on the just and on the unjust. God looks at each of us without prejudice. Yes? It's a very good thing. Sandra, I may need to steal Gwen's water. Is that all right, Gwen? A little tickle has developed in my throat. That may be the anointing or it may not be. Anyways, keep it on going. Chapter 6 begins with three acts of righteousness, three actions that are right, three godly disciplines and skills that all of us are to learn to develop. And those three are giving, praying, and fasting. And we started out by talking about giving, and I think Linda Duncan was our preacher for this one. And so we give when God speaks to us, we give when God stirs our hearts, we give when we see needs. Then we talked about the prayer of hope, the Lord's Prayer, all about hope. By the way, there's a new book that's just coming out from, who's the pastor in Mission Viejo, California? Rick Warren, the guy who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, has a brand new book called The Prayer of Hope that's coming out. So when we pray, it's not about showing off. It's not about trying to impress people. Our prayers are for God and for his ears. And so we're encouraged to be persistent, but we're not encouraged to be repeating ourselves as if we don't believe God is listening to us. Then we talked about fasting, and Linda Duncan preached this one as well. It's always good to have a skinny person preach on fasting. And fasting, again, is not for others. Fasting is something that is a statement to God to say, God, I am serious about my prayers. I am serious about an area in my life where I've hit an impasse. I need a breakthrough. And fasting is all about getting God's attention just a little bit more. It's like putting your prayers in bold or underlining them or capitalizing them. Then we got into Jesus talking about where's your heart? Where's your treasure? Where actually are you putting your money? And by the way, the largest teaching of Jesus in all of the scriptures is on money and money management, on being a good steward. And so this topic came up several times just in this passage or in this sermon about stewardship. And so the question is, where is your money being invested? And heaven, Jesus said, is a very good investment. If your money is just here on planet Earth, not a good investment. And his point was, for the last one, who's the boss? Who really runs your life? Does your bank account, does your financial situation run your life and force you to do things or to change opinions, to do this, this, and this because of money? Or are you being led by the Spirit? And so Jesus was addressing that topic. Then we have this whole one about worry, and Pastor Darren shared about this about a month ago. And just this, the whole aspect that if you are following after God and listening to God, you don't have to be anxious about things. You don't have to worry about where is my finances going to come? Where is my breakthrough going to come? God is in the business of doing those kind of things. And so this was the sort of the overview of what Darren was talking about. Because we have an amazing Father, our focus can be on the kingdom. And because our focus is on the kingdom, then we don't have to sweat about what life is doing. Then, a few weeks ago, we talked about judging. And if you remember, we began by talking about Tiger Woods. And his girlfriend, when he was in high school, is reported in a number of newspapers in America. She's on public record in interviews to say that when Tiger Woods first heard about his father cheating on Tiger's mother, that he became infuriated with that and was devastated. And he went to his girlfriend's house and he cried and cried and cried. And she says he vowed that he would never forgive his father for cheating on his mom. And the very thing that he's judged his father for, or appears to judge his father for, is now come back into his life. And so Jesus says, do not judge. Turn to your neighbor and say, no judging. Not allowed to do that. Because when you do it, it comes back. So we need to be careful. We need to understand that there's always a conflict of interest, because if you're accusing other people of judging, well, what are you doing? You're judging in that very thing that you're doing. and to be very careful because, unbeknownst to you, other people have the gift of discernment. Other people just know life, and they look in your life and they go, hypocrite. You're saying all these things, but inside you, you've got bigger issues. And so Jesus talked about, be very careful, because if you've got a little toothpick in someone else's eye, they can see that telephone pole in your eye. So don't do with that kind of stuff. And then I think 2 weeks ago, Mary Audrey Raycroft talked about persistence and asking and seeking and knocking. And the whole passage here is about push in. The things that you haven't seen, the kingdom of God is available. Push in. And so 6 times it says to be persistent. And then it talks about breakthroughs, that persistence is rewarded. And then the next thing it says that God doesn't give counterfeits. And so if you're asking God for something, you're not going to get, if you're asking for bread, you're not going to get a stone. If you're asking for, what was the next one, fish, you're not going to get a scorpion. God's not into giving counterfeits. You can trust God that what comes into your life is good and is going to be beneficial for you. It's going to help you. It's the very best thing. And then the passage finishes off by saying that God's allowed to give you upgrades. How many of you enjoy upgrades? I don't know if I told you this, but when I first became a pastor, when I graduated from Bible school, I had all sorts of part-time jobs and anything to sort of make some money because I was volunteering my time. I was an intern, just like we have a whole bunch of interns here. In fact, we're getting ready to have 16 new interns start with us in September, so we'll introduce you to them when they start. But I was an intern, and I've 4 years Bible school. No church wants to hire me, and in retrospect, good. And so I'm just learning the ropes, and I needed to self-fund myself. One of my self-funding mechanisms was to marry Sandra. We got married within a year, and when Sandra was 13 years of age, the Lord told her she was going to marry a pastor, and she started to save her money. So that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So Sandra had about $10,000 saved up in 1981, which would be like $50,000 today. And we spent it all. It was wonderful. So we bought a car and got furniture, all the things that I didn't have. Is that not true, Sandra? It's absolutely true. She's so committed. I brought sports equipment and books into the relationship. Sandra brought cash. One of my part-time jobs was over at Rexdale and Islington at the Sears Warehouse. I don't know if you've ever been into the Sears Warehouse over there. They have all sorts of return things, and it's a huge, huge warehouse that most people don't get to see. It's actually 6 warehouses that are at the back. And I worked at the customer service desk, and it used to be that Sears made a lot of money from those Sears Christmas catalogs. And if you ordered something and it was in our warehouse, then, you know, off it goes and it gets put on a truck and delivered to you. If you came into that store and ordered something from the catalog, then the place where I was working, we went and actually got on a bicycle, because it's a long way. It was a half a mile down to the end. Or we got on a little train, like a little trolley kind of car, and we went down and picked it up and loaded all the different things, brought them back, and then they'd say, go shopping for half an hour, come back, pick up your gift. And so what would happen would people would be looking at the Sears catalog, and they would see some nice dishes that they liked, $40, service of 8, and they would order it. We'd go down, and the manager in that area would say, oh, we've run out of those. What we're going to give you is the $80 set, and if they want that, they get it for $40. And so an upgrade was given. And all of the ladies, because it was guys that did the running back and forth, but it was all ladies at the cashier's desk, all of the employees at that Sears warehouse would be talking to the girls at the catalog order desk and saying, if they start upgrading this, I don't really want that, but I want that. And so if they're upgrading this, let me know. And there was always this little tension, because the guys in the warehouse are allowed to give better stuff for people, legitimate customers, but when the warehouse guys began to realize that it's the staff that are now buying all the stuff on the cheap with a 25% discount as well, they would just cut it off and say, no more upgrades. And so there was always this fun little thing of getting upgrades. And God is in the business of giving upgrades. I've applied. I fly with Air Canada. I'm flying to London tonight and then off to Scotland tomorrow morning. And I've applied to use one of my upgrade certificates instead of sitting in the cattle section. Is that what it's called? Cattle car. Thank you. Van used to work for WestJet and all these. Not WestJet. Air Canada. Anyways, I've got one of those. For those of you that travel, I have a red certificate. How many know what a red certificate is? Oh, you don't travel enough. That means an automatic upgrade to business, to those beds. And so I've applied for one of those. I'll find out tonight when I get to the airport. It's wonderful to be in one of those beds. You get to go on the airplane first. You sit comfortably, and then everyone goes by. Have you not done that? It feels so nice to be in those chairs and watch people go by. So, anyways, that's what your father's like. He's all about giving upgrades. Sue, thank you for putting me back on. Now we come to the end. Can you imagine Jesus teaching all of these principles and taking time? Like, we're just wrapping it up today, giving an overview. And so Jesus has a couple little points. A, wisdom comes by hearing and putting into practice, not just hearing. Remember, the Bible says, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. James talks about that as well. So Jesus' words in verse 24, anyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man. So do you want to be wise? Don't just hear what the Bible says, do it, live it. Number two, wisdom gives foundations during storms of life. And if you find yourself in panic mode, in turmoil, when you lose your job, when there's a health crisis, when your best friend says, I'm not talking to you again, if you find yourself in turmoil during those times, very good chance that you need a little bit more rock in your foundation and a little bit less sand. Because the teaching of Jesus is that when the storms of life come, when the wind comes, when the waves come, when the difficult stuff happens, you've got some foundation points. You're now able to forgive. You're not having to judge. You're able to be merciful. You're able to bless. Your perspective on life is so different that you don't live like everyone else. You're living like Jesus would. So Jesus, even on the cross, is forgiving people. Even on the cross, he's thinking about his mother and who's going to care for her. Even on the cross, he's talking to the other thief and saying, today, you're with me in paradise. How does Jesus live like that? He did what he preached. That's the key for you and I. Last thing, Sue. I always go to look over here, but this boom's right in the way, so my apologies. I've got to look at this screen over here to see what I wrote. Ignoring God's wisdom is foolishness. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to get you to get in groups of two or three, and I'd like you to think of all the different things that Jesus has talked about that we've just gone through. And I'd like you to come up with one of those that you feel, you know what, I'm actually doing very good on the adultery lust one. I am learning to bounce my eyes. Or I used to be judging all the time, and you know what, I'm not like that anymore. So pick one that you can share with your friend in just a moment that you're doing well at. Conversely, which one of those, and we're not going to go through them all again, which one of those is it, oh boy, I'm not good at that one. I need some prayer ministry about that one. Would that be all right? Stand up, twos and threes. For those of you that are newcomers, I'm sorry, but this is what we do. We try to do what Jesus said, not just talk about it, but do it. So just find two or three people around you. If you're in a group of four, that's too big. Divide down. And let's start with who's ever the older in your group. You go first. And just take 30 seconds to say, I'm good at this, I need prayer for this. Are you okay? I'm good at this, I need prayer for this. Go. This is your chance to be honest, to be real. This is your chance to let the Holy Spirit come and help you. For those of you that are at home, If no one's with you, can I encourage you to do that this week? Find another friend and just say, you know, one of the areas, can I get you to pray for me this week? Is I'm really struggling with anger things. And I'm finding it difficult to deal with my anger. And would you pray for me? Or maybe it's about money. And it's like I'm too bound by finances and making a way. And so if whatever it is, have someone minister to you this week if you're at home and no one's in the room. If someone's in the room with you right now, get in a group, two and three, pray and talk about it. So friends, you gotta have to go real quick. Here's a strength, here's a weakness, and then get ready to pray. You got 30 seconds for more talking, and then we're into praying. Okay, if you haven't started praying for each other, start to do that right now. Pray for the, bless the area that's good, and ask for the Holy Spirit for a heart change, for a head change. Ask the Holy Spirit for revelation to be able to, what can I do to begin to change? What can I do to appropriate what I realize I need to be changing? How can I live different? How can my speech change? How can my activities, how can my attitude change? Ask the Holy Spirit's help. So just begin to lay hands on each other and pray for each other. Spirit, we're asking for your anointing to come now. May character change happen right here, right now. May the anointing be able to bring a breakthrough. And for example, if someone's struggling with lust issues or with anger issues, struggling with word issues and constantly judging, Father, we're asking that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come and just bust people out of those habits. Change the inside, change the heart stuff that's causing these words to come out. Change the, get rid of the pain that's there. Holy Spirit, would you come? I'm going to give you 3 more minutes for this before we have a group prayer. So make sure that you pray for every person in your group. If you haven't started praying, you got 1 minute each. If you're not sure what to do, just put your hand on their shoulder and say, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do. Say a simple prayer like that for your friend. As you say something simple, you're going to find that the Holy Spirit gives you a little bit more on how to bless them. More minutes. Ask for God's help. That's what God's there for. Ask for the anointing to come for your friends. Ask for the Holy Spirit to bring change, to bring hope, to bring life. Spirit of God, come. Okay, last minute. If there's one person in your group you haven't prayed for, switch to them right away. Make sure everyone gets prayed for. And then we have a wrap up. Okay, church, how about we stand? And if you don't mind grabbing the hand of one person beside you, at least one person. Neil Diamond has a song that talks about you have two hands, and one's for reaching out to the person beside you, and the other one's to reach up to God. I like that song. It's almost a hymn, not quite. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. Now just begin to receive. Let the Holy Spirit begin to find you. Father, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's carried by my friend to come into me right now. Daddy, we're asking for life change to come in relationships. We're asking for breakthroughs in finances. We're asking for health. Daddy, we're asking for favor. We're asking for doors to open. We're asking, Father, for the kingdom of God to come for every person in this room and those of you that are watching on Catch the Fire TV. Spirit of God, would you come? Father, may we be the most blessed people in our city. Father, not because we're better, but because we're living kingdom principles. Father, may we be able to put into practice everything that Jesus taught. Father, we want to live like Jesus. We want to be known as Christians, not just followers of Jesus in name only, but we want to be the real deal. So Holy Spirit, would you come? May your Spirit hit us time and time and time and time again. Father, may your help, may the Spirit of God, that helper, come and be with us when we're about to act out in a way that's not according to kingdom values, when we're about to say something that's not kingdom, when we're about to do something that's not kingdom. Father, may your Holy Spirit just give us a quick little elbow in the gut to say, And Father, at those times, may we trust you. May we fall back into your arms. And Father, for every person in this room that's calling out for something, Father, we thank you that we have the right. We are blessed when we persist. And so, Father, we're just lifting each other up today, and we're saying, Daddy, be with my friend who's beside me. Meet their needs. Answer their prayers. Be with them. Holy Spirit, would you come? Wash over us this week. Cleanse us. May we be ambassadors for you as soon as we hit these doors and head out.